Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. As I've told you, there are exactly two Jewish conservatives to come out of Philadelphia. And how lucky are you? You've got both of them at the same time this afternoon. The great one, Mark Levin, is joining us. Mark, welcome.
Jeff, how are you, my friend?
I have been well, and you have, of course, been busy writing yet another guaranteed bestseller.
Well, you know what? I don't know why people think they're guaranteed. It's all up to our audience, isn't it?
It is. Well, I think I believe it's guaranteed because, doggone it, man, I've read every other book you've written, and this one is at least as good. Number one, thank you for making time for us. I really do appreciate that.
Well, it's a pleasure. We love our affiliate there in Richmond.
Absolutely. Tell me about Unfreedom of the Press. We all grew up, we went to school, we were told freedom of the press exists for certain reasons. We're supposed to have an informed electorate, a knowledgeable voting population, and now it seems as if we've got folks, particularly in the big social media areas, that are doing everything possible not to allow real information out.
Well, freedom of the press belongs to the people. It's in the Constitution, right next to freedom of speech. It doesn't belong to Comcast and CNN and all the rest of it. It's not a corporate or conglomerate right. It's our right.
Right.
And so when the media today uses freedom of the press to push the Democrat agenda, a progressive agenda, and a social activism agenda, and that's what it does today, and I lay out all the evidence in the book that anyone's possibly going to need, then it is the mass media that is undermining freedom of the press, which is why I named the book Unfreedom of the Press and focus on them. And you can look at it in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the number of Democrats who've served in Democrat administrations who are now in the media and vice versa. You can look at their family members and vice versa, overwhelmingly Democrat and liberal. You can look where most of these people live. They live around Washington, D.C. and New York City. They socialize with each other. They date each other. They marry each other. It's almost an incestuous relationship. There's very little diversity in newsrooms. I'll give you a perfect example. How many leaks have there been to the New York Times that put the president in a positive light? None.
Right.
How many stories have been written in the New York Times about Nancy Pelosi and her family in any kind of a negative way? None.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go down the list. The media today is mostly about pushing social activism, which makes it different than it was even 100 or 50 years ago. Chuck Todd announced on his Meet the Depress show, he goes and he says, we're not going to have any more man-made climate change deniers on this show. It's a fact. Now, here's Chuck Todd, who never graduated college. That's okay. Who has no expertise whatsoever in climate change. And he blows off thousands of PhDs, physicists, meteorologists, climatologists who've written brilliant studies, who've been around a long time, who challenge this. And he's just decided, well, that's just too bad. And so a lot of the media right now is about propaganda. It's
mm-hmm.
about pseudo-events. 2.5 years of Russia collusion. That's a pseudo-event, a fake event, as the president would say.
Right.
And it's followed by another fake event, obstruction, and another fake event, constitutional crisis, and on and on and on.
And that's what everybody has picked up on in modern history. We look at President Trump, and when he was a candidate, I know that you were not necessarily on board with him at the beginning. I certainly wasn't. But I looked at somebody who had a sense from the American people that we're not sure which one of these folks we're getting on board with. But by God, we're sick and tired of being treated in such a condescending, snarky, smarmy way by so many of the self-righteous, self-serving, egomaniacal news reporters, right? Real reporters, serious journalists, who all seem to have exactly the same talking points, syllable for flippin' syllable.
This really isn't even about who you supported when, how, or where.
Yeah.
This is about the Constitution. This is about what is supposed to be a free press. wasn't hard to support this president in the general election.
Right.
First of all, he said many great things. He gave many great speeches, particularly when he was nominated, and also look who he was up against. But the issue here is the decline of the free press, which undermines our society. We had a patriot press at the beginning of this country. We had a party press following that, where newspapers would align with one party or another. We had a progressive press, so-called, at the turn of the last century, and now we have a flat-out Democrat, progressive, social activist press where there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Democrat Party and the media. 80% of Republicans don't trust the mass media. 80% of Democrats do, and that tells you plenty. And the other thing I do in this book, many things, but one of the other things I do, if you take a look at Chapter 6, you'll see I hone in on the New York Times because that's the big gold star for the media.
Yes.
The New York Times has a horrific record. And by horrific record, I'm not even talking about the last few years. The New York Times covered up the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of newspaper covers up the Holocaust?
Right.
The New York Times covered up the slaughter of the Ukrainians in 1932 and 33. 10 million of them starved to death by Stalin because their correspondent, who'd been there for 12 years in Moscow, Walter Duranty, was in the back pocket of Stalin. And he got a Pulitzer Prize. Excuse me, and they still won't give the Pulitzer Prize back.
Right.
They said that their coverage of the Holocaust was inadequate. It wasn't inadequate. It was unconscionable. It was an abomination.
Right.
Not until 1944 did most Americans even know that of the widespread effort to exterminate the Jews, thanks to the New York Times. These are big, big issues.
Right.
And look what they've done on the Russian collusion. You know, Jeff, they didn't only misreport the Russian collusion. They participated in it.
Mm-hmm.
All these leaks coming out of the senior level of the FBI, all these leaks coming out of the senior level of the intelligence agencies, they printed them, which is how I knew 2 years ago that there was some kind of activity going on in terms of surveilling the Trump administration.
Right.
New York Times printed them, and so they're invested in the failure and the ouster of this president, and they're not reporting.
Couldn't agree with you more. Mark Levin is joining us. Of course, Mark is a vital part of the lineup here at News Radio WRVA. Mark, you referenced the New York Times, the cover-up of the Holocaust. And we look in modern times where we have the members of the media, both allegedly serious journalists and now so-called entertainment folks, they're participating in the cover-up with Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and all of this vicious, nasty, ugly anti-Semitism. So what exactly is the agenda there? Is it pure anti-Semitism, or is there something else?
The New York Times, it's a strange thing. It's been owned by a Jewish family, although the current owner of the New York Times is, well, I guess, half Jewish and half Episcopalian, but that doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they covered up, in big part, the Holocaust is because FDR wanted to tamp down attention on the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they didn't want to be pigeonholed as a Jewish newspaper.
Mm.
And Mr. Sulzberger at the time didn't like the Jewish leaders who were pushing for a Jewish state. He didn't like their positions. It's absolutely grotesque history what took place there. You're asking me, why are they how they are? I don't know why they are how they are. You have evil people, but I'll tell you, just a few weeks ago, they had cartoons in the New York Times, you
That's
remember?
That's right, yes.
Those cartoons could have come out of the Third Reich.
Yep.
Whenever the Hamas fires missiles into Israel, somehow the New York Times always winds up blaming Israel.
Yep.
They had a piece in the New York Times after Omar made yet again her hateful, bigoted, anti-Semitic statements, defending her. The New York Times has an anti-Semitism problem, just as the Democrat Party has a growing anti-Semitism problem.
I will tell you, Mark, I have seen some video accounts from some of these events, and I think to myself, they could have been produced and directed by Leni Riefenstahl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that vicious. Let me ask you about a phrase, though, Mark. It comes up in your book. It has come up because President Trump has used it, and so many of the members of the media have had an absolute meltdown. Enemy of the people. Give us your sense of what it means and what sort of cachet, what sort of implications it really has when the president says that about media.
Means nothing. I have a whole chapter on this, too. When you look at the history of what presidents have done to the media, I mean, John Adams and his party put in the Sedition Act of 1798, and they locked up journalists and they closed down newspapers for criticizing him or the government. Abraham Lincoln, his Secretary of War, was authorized to do the same, and they shut down around 300 papers, and they imprisoned hundreds of journalists.
Right.
The turn of the last century, you have Woodrow Wilson, the so-called great progressive intellect. He put a new Sedition Act in, the Sedition Act of 1918. He amended the Espionage Act. They locked up journalists. They locked up political opponents. He put in place a propaganda machine, a censorship machine. I mean, absolutely outrageous. And then picking it up from there was FDR, who turned the IRS on, talk about Philadelphia, on the Moses Annenberg, because the Philadelphia Inquirer was anti-New Deal.
That's right.
His wife turned the IRS on Gannett. And this is just two newspapers. There were several. And, of course, you have John Kennedy, who had access to IRS files and FBI files and used them. He had Pierre Salinger give information to Ben Bradley, mm-hmm. who would later become head of the Washington Post, but he was at News. I can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Donald, and why do I put all this in a book about the press? Because they barely covered this stuff. And meanwhile, Donald Trump is said to be the greatest dictator we've ever faced who's threatening freedom of the press. The core purpose of this book is to make it clear to people who care,
yes,
that the greatest threat to a free press is today's mass media. There's a difference. The free press belongs to the people. The mass media belongs to some of these corporations. These people who so-called report to us,
yes,
what are they reporting exactly to
mm-hmm.
us? And
mm-hmm.
what is it that freedom of the press, what press are they protecting? What freedom are they talking about?
It's a great question. Unfreedom of the Press is the latest book from Mark Levin. Mark, turn your attention to some of the social media sites now. We have Facebook and Twitter getting caught over and over and over again, silencing conservative voices. Now, look, you're a brilliant constitutional attorney, so you can shed some light on this. My understanding is that Facebook, on the one hand, says, hey, we're just the public square. We can't control what people say, so we get certain protections. And then on the other hand, they say, well, wait a minute. No, we're really a publisher, so we can control editorial content. Which are they?
Well, they're neither. And they're a private company. They should get no protections by the federal government. On the other hand, the First Amendment doesn't apply to them, does it? That would be people like people saying that they have every right to come on WRVA and express mm-hmm. a left-wing position, or they have every right to come on my program and express a left-wing position.
Yeah.
Here's some good news, though. The good news is that's where the action is. Despite what these media giants are doing, these internet giants are doing, there's a lot of conservative websites. There's a lot of conservative bloggers. There's actually a lot of good news sites and mm-hmm. news bloggers out there who you can read. There will be new technology in the future. George Giller, who's really kind of a genius, he was explaining to me on my Fox show that in about 10 years, Facebook, Twitter, they won't even matter. They'll be like hardwired telephones because the Israelis and the Japanese are working on all kinds of new platforms. We will produce our way out of this. We will create our way out of this. That's why technology is a good thing. We
yep.
shouldn't be running from it.
Right.
And while you have all kinds of reprobates on the internet, you have reprobates in your own neighborhood. You have reprobates, some people in their own family. You got to make a distinction between them and others. I think this is the future. I think freedom of the press is going to be just fine. However, I think the current mass media is in a nosedive. CNN's ratings are dying. The New York Times had to be saved by a billionaire in Mexico. The Washington Post had to be bought by Bezos going broke. Both technology and content. People are sick and tired of it. At least half the country is.
Absolutely. Mark, as always, my friend, I thank you so much for being here. I look forward to chatting again soon. Unfreedom of the Press, it ought to be in everybody's hands this summer, sitting on a beach somewhere. And real fast, before I let you go, Mark, any new developments, any new puppies or anything we need to know about?
No, not right now.
Ah! I'm shocked.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Well, I have two dogs already.
I know, but it's just, well, you can never have enough. Let's be honest.
That's true.
All right. Mark, I appreciate you being here, my friend. That is Mark Levin, the great one. You hear him each and every evening right here on News Radio WRVA. An absolutely brilliant guy. Entertaining as all get out. The new book is called Unfreedom of the Press. You need desperately to read it. You really do. What we were just talking about moments ago, where my friend John Reed in the morning was, in my opinion, mistreated. I think that's the word I'm going to go with. That's the term I'm going to use. Not treated properly anyway, by somebody who is a reporter, but who clearly clearly had an agenda that, well, it would have been okay had she been an opinion person, a commentator, a talk show host. I would have had no problem with that. But a reporter? Yeah, I've got some issues. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.